He holds up his hands.
Truce, okay?
I nod, exasperated. Okay. He pulls out his wallet, so I guess he's about to leave too.
I just miss you. I miss the old Brinley who enjoyed life. I feel like after the accident, you just stopped living.
He slides out of the booth and drops some bills on the table.
I have to go. My dad wants me to talk to a few of his players. I'll call you later.
My Uncle Austin is the high school baseball coach, and since Easton is a professional baseball player, he'll often chat with the team during his off-season. Okay. He kisses my forehead.
Sorry,
he says, because he never wants to leave anything unfinished. I shake my head. It's okay. I know I have to move on. And that's the truth. I do know I can't mourn Sawyer forever, and I need to move on with my life. But that's a scary prospect to think of, let alone actually do it.
Maybe you need more time.
I shake my head and he chuckles. Now you want to say the right thing.
I'm not good at sugarcoating.
Bye, Easton, I say and push him away.
Love you,
he screams as he leaves the restaurant. The sound makes Tatboy glance up from the paper he's reading. When he sees Easton, he buries his head in the paper again. I finish my salad, and I'm about to pull out my money when I see Easton left enough for the entire bill.
Excuse me.
I peer up toward the deep voice at the end of the table. The deep voice is attached to the tatted up guy, and I realize that the distance did not do him justice. My heart beats and my stomach somersaults. He's so good looking, he has to be a model. Hi? I say, way too mouse-like. My mom would lecture me about it if she heard it.
Could you point me in the direction of Lucky's? I have to see a guy about a job.
He smiles, and it kind of feels like being in a tractor beam. I can't look away. Easton's words ring in my head. Maybe I need to jump back into something. This guy is definitely not someone I'd ever fall for. He's a stranger in town. Who knows how long he'll stick around? How about I show you?
The blonde slides out of the booth and stands to her full height, which only comes up to my chin, but I like that. She meticulously puts on her coat, buttoning it, then positioning her computer bag on her shoulder to lie crosswise over her chest.
All done?
The waitress comes over and picks up the money her boyfriend must have tossed on the table.
Yes, thank you.
She smiles at the girl, but the waitress's eyes are on me as if I'm an all-you-can-eat Sunday bar. I motion with my hand for the blonde to lead the way, and I walk behind her toward the exit. Every set of eyes in the place watches us leave. I'm well aware of how fast rumors fly around a small town, and I have to think we might just be the next one based on all the attention we're garnering. We exit the diner, and I notice the way she runs her thumb over the bare ring finger of her left hand a bunch of times. She opens her mouth to speak, but I interrupt her before she can just give me directions and leave. Thanks a lot for doing this. I pull her back into our bubble because there's something here. Yeah, I'm attracted to her. Who wouldn't be? And I do love blondes. But before I instigate anything, I need to know how serious it is with a boyfriend. Maybe he's just some guy she's seeing, but they haven't decided to be exclusive yet.
Sure.
She walks down the sidewalk and I keep pace with her. People smile and wave, some say hello as we pass by, but none of them stop to talk to her. Maybe because she's with me. They all look confused, and I can understand why. The two of us probably don't look all that compatible, her with her buttoned-up professional look, and me with my jeans and leather jacket. When I decided to spend my 8-week leave from the Coast Guard here in Lake Starlight, I knew that as an outsider, I'd have to answer questions about myself, but I learned how to be vague a long time ago.